good friend of the show, Dan Hicks, NBC lead golf anchor, and the guy that should be doing the U.S. Open. Going to join us in about 15 minutes to talk about Koepka and Phil. But we guarantee you football at 8 o'clock in the morning for your football fix. We got a lot of things to get to for your football fix. We're trying to branch out a little bit in the football fix. Look at other teams. Sometimes it's college football. Sometimes it's NFL. And today's football fix is highlighted by Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah. Really?
When you think of football, do you think Oprah?
No. Did she fire up the oven? Is that what you're saying?
No. Oprah, did you get Oprah confused with Martha Stewart a little bit?
No. Oprah's oven got lit up like Oprah's oven. No. Just something I've said before in the past.
I see.
Was lit up? Do you get it? Yeah. You know, lit, you know.
Yeah, was it funny then?
Right, it was, okay. As a matter of fact.
So this is Oprah Winfrey talking to Tom Brady, and Tom is now officially hinting, after all these years of saying, I'm going to play this long. I'm going to play it on four more years, five more years. Now,
I think about it more now than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now, I think there, I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. What does that end look like? Is that 40? Three? Is it 45?
Yeah.
Is it?
As long as I'm still loving it.
As long as you're loving it, you're going
to
do it.
Yes. Yeah, so, as long as I'm loving the training and the preparation and willing to make the commitment.
So transparent, is it not, Tom Brady? I mean, honestly, you just might as well have come out and said, you know what? Hey, listen, if Bill and I get along, I'm going to keep playing. If we don't, I'm going to retire. I mean, that is literally, that's the translation right there. I speak median, ladies and gentlemen. Have a PhD, as a matter of fact, in median. How you speak to the media, a.k.a. median. That's what he was saying right there. I mean, honestly, you know what? Yeah, I think about it more now than I used to, right? Because, you know what? Things are really starting to get a little sideways between myself and Coach Belichick. That's what I think. Mm. Listening to him, it's pretty evident that's what he's talking about. Yeah, I think about it now. Why do you think about it? Well, you know, am I still having fun, right? Am I still enjoying it? Is he enjoying it? Bill Belichick? Is he? Come on, man.
It was clear missing OTAs was a signal.
I think what I've alluded to a lot in you know, in the docuseries was there's other things happening in my life too. You know, I do have kids that I love, and I don't want to be a dad that's not there driving my kids to their games. And, you know, I think kids... You know, my kids have brought a great perspective in my life, you know, because kids just want the attention. You better be there and be available.
I love what he says right there, except for the docuseries part. When you drop it, what I've been trying to do with the docuseries, whenever you have a logo or whenever you have a docuseries,
the docuseries that
you've done on yourself.
I've got to do a docuseries.
I was just trying to explain.
And just people that make the worst first impressions in the history of mankind. That's the docuseries I would do on you and your kind.
Hey.
Just the worst first impression a human being could possibly make. What's the problem? Who are these people? Where do they come from?
I come on a little strong and full bore before you have any idea whether should like me. I get that. However, there has never been a time in my life where a ball was rolling foul and I just picked it up, put it in my pocket and said, oh, well, you got a base hit. I've never done that.
Still, honestly.
Yeah, and I
won't. Just ridiculous.
This was interesting at Tom Brady. Of you'd think a guy that is the greatest of all time would accept that.
I don't like it. I don't like when people say it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't like it at all.
Why?
Well, I don't feel that way, you know? I'm not attached to that feeling, you know? I don't care whether people think that or not, you know? I want to be the best I can be. I know what I... go out there. It's not to compare myself to this guy or that guy. It's everyone's good. Everyone plays good.
You know, it's so nice to hear that from Tom Brady. It really is, right? I mean, the humility right there. I love his humble approach to this. And it's a wise thing to do as well. You know what, Basinonians? When you're as good as Tom Brady is, and I think when Tom Brady retires, I don't think there's going to be any conversation as to who was the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't think there's going to be any doubt, any conversation, unless you're Andy Greenberg. If you're airtime, then maybe you're going to say something like, well, you know what, Russell Wilson was the greatest ever. And Russell is a doggone good one. Airtime. But you get my point. Tom Brady, when it's all said and done, I think Tom Brady is going to be viewed as the greatest quarterback of all time, Ron Wolfley reporting. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So you know what you do? You let other people talk about you, right? You let other people, my young crunk brothers, never forget this. Carry this throughout your life. Whatever you do, when you're met with success, enjoy that success. And then let other people talk about your success, not you.
Well, guess what that means? That's when you get honored by going into the Ring of Honor. And yesterday, recently the Vikings announced that they're going to put Denny Green, former Cardinals coach, and obviously a guy that meant a lot to the Vikings, into the Ring of Honor. And so some people caught up with some comments that were made. Here's Randy Moss talking about it last year.
I was 6 years old playing this game on draft day. I really don't know why I was treated the way I was treated on draft day, but Coach Green gave me an opportunity, man. And I told him, Coach, you're not going to regret this. So you asked me what I would say to him. Man, I'll probably just fall in his arms and give him a hug, man. There's no words that I can tell him.
And just some of the greats of the game talking about what Denny Green meant to them. And granted, this is older sound, but, you know, when you hear an announcement like that, it's pretty cool. Here's Chris Carter from a couple years ago.
You know, his leadership and taking over the Vikings, and I had already been there for a couple years and was really maturing and developing and really starting to find myself as a human being and as an athlete. But I don't think my career would have been the same without Denny Green, because the one thing he realized after watching the tape, Tom Moore, legendary offensive coordinator, he had Tom call me and say, Chris Carter has to be on the field. Like, we're going to win.
That is so, it's heartwarming to hear these guys talk mm-hmm. about Denny Green, because that's the way that it always was. That's the way that it used to be, at least for me, coming up through the ranks in 1985 to 95. I can tell you right now the love that I have for some of these men that were brutal, and I mean brutal on me, drove me into the ground, rode me, said some of the most horrific things you could possibly imagine to me, and yet they were just trying to suck it out of me and get as most out of me and my abilities as they possibly could. That, to me, to this day, I love those men who were brutal on me, who brought the hammer of discipline down on me. I love those guys to this day. And just listening to Randy Moss say, you know what, I wouldn't say anything. I just fall into his arms. That's Randy Moss saying that, brothers. This is what's missing, I think, a lot of times from the game today. We don't get coaches that really worry about developing men anymore. We don't. That's a shame.
So good to hear the guys talking about him in that way. Join 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party this Thursday starting at 4 o'clock live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details and RSVP to watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick. Coming up next, what's the bigger story, Lefty or Brooks? We're going to ask NBC golf analyst and the should-be voice of the U.S. Open, Dan Hicks. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Really appreciate every time he says yes. Dan Hicks, in my opinion, the voice of the U.S. Open. I'm not letting it go.
Danny
joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He's really the official number one golf anchor for NBC's coverage of all things golf. And, Dan, good morning. I'll get through my rant on the USGA at some other point. But isn't it amazing the litany of mistakes? Chambers Bay, everything in Wisconsin last year, flag placement on Saturday, replacing NBC. They just can't get anything right, can they?
Wow, this is quite the start to this whole thing. You are fired up.
He is, Dan.
I am.
Hey. Do we miss doing the U.S. Open? Absolutely. But, you know, it's in Fox's hands and the USGA's hands And they have not been on a good roll, if you could call anything a roll. It's been tough. And I think Saturday's situation was the last thing that that organization needed to have happen, especially with what happened in 2004 when we did it. And it was truly an unfortunate incident. And I think this was a mini 2004 in the sense that they lost the golf course on Saturday. There's no doubt about it. And I know some unexpected winds came up that they hadn't really forecasted, but you've got to give yourself a cushion. You know, golf is, it's an inexact science with Mother Nature intervening, and you've got to give yourself some cushion, and they just didn't do it.
Yeah.
So when you think of Phil Mickelson and what happened on Saturday, what do you think of?
What do I say to Phil's antics?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say this. Phil's great for the game. Phil has been an incredible ambassador for the game. But there's just no way you can spin that in any other way except that he broke the rules willingly. And that's in any sport, that's really inexcusable, especially in golf. Mm-hmm. So it was, as Phil said and as his wife Amy said, It was not his best moment, and I think that you give Phil a pass in the sense what he's done for the game. I don't. It's not like Phil is going to be breaking rules all over the place. Never has, never will. But that was a bad moment. That you cannot justify what he did. And if you're the USGA, I mean, I think a lot of people would have been fine with him disqualifying him. You know, it's just another situation that I think they missed the boat on.
Dan Hicks, lead golf anchor of NBC's golf coverage. It does bring up the question on something like that. Should your past matter? If it was an amateur, if it was a guy in his third ever, you know, maybe his first ever U.S. Open, or an average player, I assume they get disqualified. Phil doesn't. Is that a positive? Because you know what, Phil, you have done so much for the game. We'll give you one meltdown every 20 years. Or no, the rules are the rules, and it shouldn't matter who you are. That's what used to make golf great. What do you think, Dan?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Doesn't matter if it's one of the amateurs that qualified for the U.S. Open. Everybody should be playing by the same rules. And you hear the phrase protecting the field, you know, all the time in golf. And that's exactly what you're doing. Doesn't matter if it's Phil Mickelson. Doesn't matter who it is. Everybody's got to play by the same rules. So you really can't even spin it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter who it is, who it was. They needed to be dealt with in a different way. You don't do that. You don't swat the ball while it's moving. Phil, in this case, you got to love him. I know he's got incredible fans out there. I love him. I love watching him play golf. But he was totally in the wrong on this. And the only thing that I think was unfortunate is the way Phil handled it. He tried to spin it. There's no way to spin it. And I know he called the USGA and Mike Davis and said, should I disqualify myself? The USGA at that moment should have said, Phil, thanks for the call. Yes, you should. Or we're going to do it. Which one do you want?
You know what's and the
– I agree it, with
again,
you.
Again, wasn't handled right.
You know what's the worst thing about it, Danny, is just the fact that here we've got Brooks Koepka, who has done some Curtis Strange was the last guy to win back-to-back U.S. Opens, and nobody's really talking about that. Mm-hmm. What a shame that is.
It is. It's a shame that we let off this particular talk with the golf course and how it was mismanaged again, and also what happened to Phil. It is. It's unfortunate that Brooks isn't getting the real, true, you know, recognition that he deserves. It'll come in time. I mean, the guy went back-to-back U.S. Opens. He was just absolutely clutch. But he's only got three wins. I say only has three wins. Two of them happened to be U.S. Opens.
Yeah.
So before we anoint Brooks Koepka, and he's an incredible talent, but you got to ask yourself, and again, I might get criticized for this, but why does he only have three wins? And Dustin Johnson's got, 17, 18 wins?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a reason why Dustin Johnson's the number one player in the world, and the talk that Justin Johnson can't close out championships is just ludicrous. But, hey, Brooks Koepka was the best player this week on an incredibly hard golf course. and he's a great U.S. Open champion, and back-to-back is incredible.
You know, this is a fantastic commentary, Dan, because I think you saw the stats, but 6 3 putts for Dustin Johnson on Saturday and Sunday combined. Brooks Koepka wins for only the third time in his life, but 2 U.S. Opens. Is that a compliment to Brooks? If the U.S. Open is the test more of your mentality than necessarily your golf, does that show that Brooks Koepka is one of the most mentally tough golfers that there are?
I think it does. I think it shows his resilience. I think it shows how you deal with a golf course that goes over the top during, you know, half the day on Saturday. I think it deals with your patience. I think all of the above. So absolutely. I mean, look at the putts that Koepka made yesterday.
Yes.
At crucial times. And that's what it takes. Now, Dustin Johnson at the halfway point had a 4-shot lead, and I got to say I was growing weary of hearing all the pundits. And again, everybody's got a lot of time to fill, including you guys, talking about sports. But to say that it was done and over and it was basically a boring U.S. Open because Dustin Johnson was running away with it, I mean, anybody that knows anything about golf or sports knew that that changed. It changed in a number of just a few holes. And Dustin Johnson, in the end, played tentative over the weekend, and you just can't do that to close out a major championship. And Brooks Koepka did the opposite.
Can you put Tommy Fleetwood and his 63 into perspective for us? I mean, that to me, Dan, stunning.
It was stunning, and it's just more it's just more proof of how good a player Tommy Fleetwood is. And I'll tell you, 2 years ago, no one in this country knew who he was. They know who he is now, and he's going to be one of Europe's top players when the Ryder Cup is contested this fall outside of Paris. It's funny, you know, he texted his caddy, who was getting a Starbucks coffee before the round yesterday, and said, "I'm going to break Johnny Miller's record today."
Oh, my goodness.
That's pretty gutsy. And then he's coming up 18, and I guess it was either just before he hit that laser second shot up to the 18th hole from like 192 yards, he said, it's going to happen. It's going down. And he had this putt for a 62 on one of the most devilish courses to do it. And what an incredible opportunity. Even with the 63, it could have been lower.
Yeah, Dan, when's your next gig? When's your next working event?
We've had some good time off. My next working event is the member guest at Wingfoot, where I'm a member. That's coming up this week. But humor aside, we got the KPMG Women's PGA Championship next week, which is really a cool tournament. It's at Kemper Lakes. The PGA of America conducts that tournament. They do an incredible job, and they have elevated one of those ladies' majors, in this case, this one, to a whole other level with their involvement. And that's the next one. That's next week. And then after that, we gear up for the next major, which is at Carnoustie in Scotland in July.
That's fun.
Danny, thank you so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it, as always. God bless you. Hopefully we'll see you down the road soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. And we got through the whole thing without even mentioning Tiger Woods. That's a miracle.
I was just thinking we got through the whole
thing. After the fire hydrant.
We got through the whole thing, and I didn't make any references to U of A. We made no U of A jokes, and we never played.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so that was different. Thank you, Dan.
We
good to talk.
New ground today, guys. Always a pleasure.
We love you, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
You can see Dan Hicks. Again, the British Open is, I should be more specific, the Open Championship is an NBC property now, and I wasn't paying attention. I didn't realize it was Carnoustie this year.
After the fire hydrant,
it's one of the best lines Dan Hicks has ever had.
Yep.
Coming up next is the big man return to the NBA. That's a huge issue. And again, thanks to Dan for joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterTempe.com, or Coulter on Camelback.com for your next new or pre-owned car. If you missed what Jay Billis told us this morning, you're not ready, Suns fan, for the Thursday night draft. Hear what he said next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I see a bear back there in command and control. You're no stranger to the mosh pit, are you?
See, I don't see you, and that's by design. I moved the computer screens in front of the window, so I can't see you.
Okay, elbows.
Sit down,
and
sit down.
Knees, like Paul Calvisi. He's no stranger to the mosh pit either, or either if you're from the East Coast.
The producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, at Call Me Maloney, Aaron Maloney, is sitting at her computer spot. Bear is like lording over all now because he is training. I don't know what you call Michaela. Like, she's a technically within our world, she's a part-timer, but she's like all. I mean, she's like part-time with every. She has like more jobs than Paul right now. It's amazing.
It's a capable kid.
No. She's scanning the landscape, figuring out which job she's going to take. Who's going to out of a job?
She's
trying to figure out who I want. Their job, his job, her. Whose job do I want?
Because
they're in dire trouble.
She's call her the job reaper.
So this shows, you know, Bear right now is clearly Sam Bradford because he's just standing in the back and he's training Michaela to replace him. So that's really nice of you, Bear. We appreciate
Bear
that.
Bear sitting back there at the ready, too, with the arms folded. Love it.
That's cool of you, Bear, to do that. All right, what are you going to do? I almost said Sean McDonough because I just texted him, name dropper. Ryan McDonough, who are you going to go with? We asked Jay Billis, friend of the McDonough family, what's going to happen and is it the end of the world if Bagley actually goes first to the Suns?
Not only is it not the end of the world, I mean, Marvin Bagley III would be the number one pick in a lot of years. But there are a couple other guys that are worthy of being the number one pick this year. It's just I think DeAndre Ayton is the best choice.
So wait a minute. Is this a no-brainer or not? Because we know what Charles said, right? I mean, back in a...
First of all, if you don't take DeAndre Ayton, you're just an idiot. This kid is scary.
So is this a no-brainer or not?
It isn't.
I'm sorry, Paul. I just can't get over it. I just love the way Chuck kind of, you know, bottom lines it right there.
Because it's Thursday night. You better figure it out.
This is it, Paulie. Fired up, man.
All right.
I'm fired up.
The Phoenix Suns select...
Is it a no-brainer or not?
Yes,
it's a no-brainer.
Is the card already filled out or not?
I think it's a no-brainer, Paul. I really do. You know, it's just incredible. Just looking at the big men overall in this draft coming out, right? DeAndre Ayton, there's a very plausible scenario where you could see DeAndre Ayton going number one, Sacramento taking Marvin Bagley III, right, at number two. Number three, Atlanta taking Jaren Jackson Jr. And number four, Memphis taking Mo Bamba. There is a plausible scenario. You could easily see that. The first four guys drafted in this draft, big men, that all fit that new big man model in the NBA. Expectation, it's just incredible, Basinonians. Expectation is such a powerful motivator because it can actually raise up people. It can raise people up. Coaching is about raising the ceiling for players and their expectation, right? Their own expectation for themselves, challenging players, teaching players, demanding more of players, and getting them better. And that's what we're seeing right now, this run on these big men. Everybody is looking for the next Lawrence Taylor, so to speak, right? A big guy that can step out, stretch the floor, and yet still protect the rim on the defensive end of the floor.
Lawrence Taylor, a good jump shooter?
Lawrence Taylor was a guy that was an icon, as we all know, in the game of football. Changed the game of football. I think when you talk about DeAndre Ayton, you look at some of these other big men that can step out and actually shoot the perimeter shot, and they've got feet where they can guard people on the perimeter? You got to be kidding me.
And when Ryan,
this is what everyone's looking for.
When Ryan McDonough was talking about DeAndre Ayton, you guys were there, he was almost euphoric. He had a smile on his face the entire press conference.
Wouldn't you, Paulie?
Every other prospect who has come through has been much more businesslike. There's no reason to have a poker face because you have the number one pick in the land.
Right.
You can crack a smile when DeAndre Ayton comes in and lights up his solo workout, and now you're introducing him to the media and mentioning that, oh, by the way, he's going to be watching games that night with the rest of the team, almost like he's a member of the team already. So based on that, it is a foregone conclusion. We do know who the Suns are going to select. It's going to happen on Thursday night, unless somebody makes some sort of trade offer they can't refuse, which nobody expects.
The big question for me is what's going to happen that is shocking, that is absolutely shocking? Because something always happens. Something always happens in an NBA draft that is absolutely shocking. Like, it happens in an NFL draft.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard on the block? Is that where you're hinting at, Doug? Is this where you're going?
Laramie Tunsil.
Okay. I don't mean Laramie Tunsil.
You mean some sort of video coming out?
Yeah, well, no, I was just saying. He said some type of surprise is going to happen. And we all know that to this day, I think, is the – that was the
– Okay.
That was the worst.
I didn't mean
that
a guy
brutal.
Having an implosion on draft night. I mean kind of like what Paul is suggesting, and I never thought the day would come where Paul and Stephen A. Smith are on the same page.
Hell no.
That is the answer to Stephen A. Smith. Should the Suns trade number one for Kawhi Leonard?
Hell no. They should not trade for Kawhi Leonard. Absolutely, positively not. And I'm going to tell you why. For one simple reason. He ain't staying. So why bother? It's just that simple. Mm. You got to get the number one pick. It has to be somebody that's going to be in your staple for years to come. You're the Phoenix Suns. You've stunk for years. You haven't been relevant since Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni were there. Nobody cares about you right now. You have to return back to the land of the living where you're recognized by some folks. And DeAndre Ayton is the man to do that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm with him, though, right? He is the man to do that right there.
But very Kawhi Leonard,
what if you actually got, because Kawhi Leonard has what? One more year left. He has a year left on his contract. What if, in fact, Kawhi Leonard said, you know what? I'll sign a long-term deal with you. What about that?
Well,
would you make that move then? I would not. I'm just, for the record, I would not. I would not do it.
Because of his age, because of his injury history, of his attitude history, and the way he treated the Spurs last year.
Because of what happened last year. Are you kidding me? I'm not touching that.
I hate to say it, but you look at Kawhi Leonard, and either he bailed on his teammates and he was healthy, or he was indeed hurt and decided, I'm better than all of you. I need my own doctors. I don't need to be around you at all. I'm not here to really support you. It just doesn't make sense. No matter what happened with Kawhi Leonard, it doesn't make sense. And let him go prove himself with somebody else.
I'm already on the record as saying, I don't want anybody's pre-owned player. I want a brand new player. For 50 years, you've been saving for this brand new vehicle that I want to drive off the lot. I want the new big man smell. I want to be able to climb in with 0 miles on the odometer and drive that thing off the lot. I don't want anybody's pre-owned player or anything. I don't want to find a cigarette butt under the floor mat in a couple of weeks that they just forgot to clean out. I don't want any of that. I don't want any mileage on a pre-owned player.
I love the metaphor. That's number one. Number two, you don't have one, do you, Paul?
No, don't start. Paul, stop, because we're going to get a pros if you don't. As soon as you start talking
about
smoking.
That's right. We need pros.
Join 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party this Thursday starting at 4 o'clock live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to RSVP to watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick without smoking.
Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. The hardworking player of the series is brought to you by Copper Point Insurance. Get to the point.
All right, Wolf, you always want to go first. Who was your hardworking player?
You know what? I'm going to go with Paul Goldschmidt, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, Paul
Goldschmidt. Aren't you on like a four-week run?
Six hits in the series, of course, four RBIs. Not the greatest in the world, but I'm going with Paul Goldschmidt. Did hit a couple of dingers as well in this series. Paul Goldschmidt definitely back in ranking.
I'm going with Yoshi Hirano. What's the inning scoreless streak at this point?
Solid.
I mean, come on. Give this guy some props. He's in the middle of the game. You don't tend to notice him, but he's only been lights out, shut out baseball for how long? And he's phenomenally entertaining, making guys look stupid with that array of junk he throws up there.
Goldie.
Listen, when you split with a team as bad as the New York Mets, nobody gets any credit for anything.
Come on, dog.
I'm going to give the hardest working person Mike Butcher because how many times he had to walk back and forth between the dugout and the pitching mound. Nobody gets credit on this one.
How about the fans for once yesterday in the sellout, the second sellout since opening
That's
day?
That's very well done.
And then they got severely disappointed with two outs in the ninth. They get some sort of award.
Yeah.
Besides the Hawaiian shirt, they get an award.
Can I give Reyes the hard?
That sucked buttermilk through a straw.
No. Hey, no credit when credit is not due. Coming up next, how did that ninth inning unravel in the loss to the Mets? You'll hear it from the Diamondbacks' point-by-point point of view. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. need to stop being so bitter. The hardest working player, Daniel Descalso, did go like 4 for 6 over the weekend.
Yeah, but you know what? He's becoming redundant. Isn't that right, Daniel?
He did go 4 for 6, but I just...
I just can't get over the couple home runs.
Third base wait. Avila picks it up and won't have a play. Alex went up the third baseline. Might have let that ball go. He wasn't going to throw out Reyes. He picked it up and had no play.
Had no play whatsoever, right? Just left a sour taste in your mouth. Yet at the same time, I know what it's like to go out there and do something really, really stupid. And I've done it myself multiple times.
Were you batting 100 when you did it?
I was not. Fortunately, I was not. Of course, I wasn't batting at all, but I was hitting. See what I did right there?
Yeah, I got it.
Did you like that, Douglas?
Not really.
That was big time.
This is Torrey Lovello after the game.
You play a perfect game, really. Very good game for 8 innings, and then you go into the last inning, and unfortunately, you don't close it out.
New York media amazed that the Mets have won 2 in a row. Never thought there was a team that could lose 2 in a row to the Mets. And that was the kind of the general thinking around baseball, that the Mets were that bad. And Saturday, Patrick Corbin gives up 8 hits and 5 runs in 6 innings pitched. Nick Ahmed had 2 hits. Everybody else went 4 for 30 against the Mets on Saturday. So equal blame goes around like crazy on Saturday. Sunday, the Diamondbacks are up 3-1, get 2 strikeouts to start off the top half of the 9th inning, and then just...
struggled the first 2, and everything was going well, and then...
have an absolutely epic meltdown.
I feel like, he gets the first 2 outs and does a really nice job of pressing his fastball in there and following that up with that the change that he loves and throws so effectively.
Just unbelievable right there, right? Watching Brad Boxberger, who's done such an incredible job closing for the Diamondbacks, just watching him unravel. He could not get it done. 4 consecutive 2-out hits lost the game for the Diamondbacks in the 9th inning.
And there's the potential to go foul, but Alex made the decision to get the ball and try to make the play, so that's what happens.
Yeah, it was a horrible decision by Alex Avila. There's no doubt about that, right? I mean, I've never seen anything like it, what's going on with Alex right now. We've been talking about it all show long, but this is a career meltdown that is of biblical proportion, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's just out of control what is happening, and I've been around that. I've experienced it myself. I know what that's like, unfortunately. Unfortunately, and with Alex Avila, his confidence has got to be so shot.
He doesn't at this point. Doesn't sound like a guy that's raging with confidence.
My first 100 ABs, no. Obviously, got about 100 at bats now. Haven't really gone through anything this lengthy for sure. But just got to keep plugging away. I mean, there's nothing really else to do than to keep working.
If you didn't see it last night, he goes 0 for 3. Then as the catcher in the top of the 9th inning, you have a bunt single by Jose Reyes in which it's rolling up the left field line, really just up the third baseline, and it looks like it's going foul. I'm pretty confident it would have gone foul, and yet...
I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident it would have gone foul, but I hesitate to blast Avila for that part of it because that is a quick reaction judgment. You know, hey, is it going to go fair or foul? No, it's not going foul, so you make a move. And I want to give that part of it room. But there's the next part of the decision-making process where you know it's a fast runner. And if you've played baseball before, you know this is easy. But if you're a casual fan and you don't know why you would get so bent out of shape about it, what makes baseball different than anything else is you have all of the time in the world between pitches to make sure you know what the situation is.
And what is a question you ask yourself?
It's so basic, it's so fourth grade, but it's, if the ball is hit to me, what am I going to do? And you think like this before the pitch is ever thrown. And when you butcher something, I hate to say it, that shows you weren't focused. It happens, but it clearly shows you weren't focused. So you should know Jose Reyes is fast. So when you pop up out of that crouch, I got to get to the ball quick, I got to get to the ball quick. And then as soon as you see it rolling up the line, it's not that much too much to ask and say, don't do anything. Let's see if we get lucky and it rolls foul. And when I say that, watch the replay next time you watch it. Watch Boxberger. Watch Jake Lamb. They're hustling just as much, and they quickly realize, okay, this makes no sense. Let's see if we get lucky and it rolls foul. If it doesn't roll foul, Jose Reyes is safe at first. If you pick it up, Jose Reyes is safe at first.
Yes.
Nothing changes.
You
there
have
is
one
zero
shot,
reason to pick
one
that
shot,
up.
One shot only, and that is to let it go foul. Now, listen, the other thing you have to understand as well, above all else, catchers especially, in particular to this,
yes,
catchers have to know situational awareness. So much of the time, they're the quarterback on the field, so to speak. You have to know what the situations are. This is what they're trained in. This is one of the reasons why catchers are some of the brightest people you're ever going to come across. Isn't that right, Bob Brantley?
Well, that has a lot to do with his Bobcat education. Yeah.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Insider Update.
Suns worked out quite a few guards, a forward, and two centers yesterday. And afterwards, the assistant general manager, Pat Connolly, was asked, all right, how do you evaluate all the workouts?
Our scouting staff has been out seeing these guys a lot in person, so it's great. In film, you can sense athleticism when a guy has a great dunk or makes a great play or is a great first step. But in person, when you can kind of really sense it and feel it and kind of see it, it just resonates more than what you get in film. Because everybody says, why don't you just do all your scouting off film? Because you kind of lose some of the nuance, whether it's the personal interaction or something in terms of the explosiveness or how they get off the floor. And it's easier to gauge in person than off film.
A lot of the guys that they worked out this weekend are looking at basically for picks number 31 and 59. They're two second-round picks. And one guy that will probably be there that was working out is I go by jersey numbers about guys that I don't know a lot about, but that I watch. And I watched quite a few Georgia Tech games. And I think you say it as Okogie, but I don't know for sure, to be quite blunt. But I just know him as he wore jersey number 5 when I watched him at Georgia Tech.
Okay, interesting.
I hope that's all right.
No.
I go by jersey number until I know you.
No games from Georgia Tech this year. None. Not one. Zippo.
Okay,
zero.
I think I watched 5. Not a lot. Coming up next, one of our favorites, Amino Hassan. Last time he joined us, he said that DeAndre Ayton was not a generational talent. So does that mean Bagley should go one? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.